Well, good morning. Please say thank you to our worship team. They play every Wednesday night. I have to tell you, my heart is very full at the moment. This is an exciting time for us, exciting time to be here. Before we start, I kind of want to go ahead and just jump right into Scripture. So in Matthew 19, Matthew records a time that a young man comes to Jesus. He's described as the rich young ruler. Many of you probably have heard this story before. He comes up and says, "Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Fair question. Many of us ask that question at some point in our life. Who does not want eternal life? And Jesus responds, "Keep the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man replies, "I have done all these. What else must I do? What else am I forgetting?" And Jesus makes it a point to kind of go right at his core. He says, "Go, sell all you have." He's a rich man. He has tons of things. "Sell all you have and give them to the poor, and your treasure will be in heaven. Come, follow me." And the passage ends with the young man walking away in sadness. You probably have experienced this in some time in your life if you've grown up in the church or even just in normal life, when what you love and what you hold dear gets called out as an idol. Right? Family time, cars, clothes, TV, music, whatever it may be. When somebody says, "Hey, this is too important in your life," it hurts. And we all walk away with our head down most of the time. Which kind of blows my mind, because this man's standing in front of Jesus. He should be excited. And in all honesty, we should be excited now. There's a lot of good things going on in our life, especially in the time of Connect. For the last few months, we've been going through our core values, going through Scripture, talking about what we believe here, what God has called us to do. How we should have faith-filled prayer, spirit-filled worship, mission-minded service, Bible-based teaching, grace-centered community, and now we're finished up with God-generated giving. Okay, that's what we're through the church, the things that we kind of expect of one another, keep each other accountable for. And as we're closing this chapter of our life, and we're getting ready for the weather to change, and a new exciting chapter to begin, as Victory Church comes and joins with us from now on, so that they can fill the holes where we're struggling. And we've been praying through this, going, "God, we have these needs. We don't know what they look like. We need help." And God has provided the answer for those needs. He's filling in the gaps. And we know many of you have been praying along with us during this time. And so as God has answered this prayer, I pray that you continue praying. Be on your knees in prayer, seeking God's will, God's wisdom as we move forward as a church. Because the call doesn't end when our current needs are met. He's met those needs so we can go meet more needs. So that we can better proclaim his name. And today, Jay is over with, Pastor Jay and his wife Karen, they're over there with Victory worshiping today. And as y'all saw, today is Student-Led Sunday. This is the first time we're doing it here. Like I said, my heart is very overjoyed. I've been looking forward to this for a few months now. And so as we just continue through Scripture today, I ask that y'all would pray for me as well. As a young man, I'm still a student myself, and so this is really cool for me to watch them getting the lead, me being up here. I'm only 26. I'm still going to school myself, so this is a very precious thing to me. So would y'all join me with prayer and pray for me during this time? God, we just come before you seeking your will, seeking your guidance. Holy Spirit, that you come and teach us. Lord, I pray that my words are not being said, Father, but the words that you have said to me, Lord, that you have said to us. Lord, teach us now. Let us honor you in all that we do so that when we leave this place, we are still the church, that we are acting in faith in all that we do, that we live a life worthy of the calling. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would, turn to Mark chapter 12. We're going to hop around Scripture today. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. We do have it on the screen. I do encourage you to have a Bible with you. So Mark chapter 12, we're reading verses 41 through 44. It's a very interesting part of Scripture for me. Jesus is sitting at the temple or the synagogue, just kind of observing. And I want you to understand something. You can give without being generous. And you can give without honoring God. And we'll talk more about that here in just a second after we read this Scripture. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. And he, being Jesus, sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the people putting money in the offering box. Many rich people came, put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of poverty has put in everything she has and all she had to live on." This is a challenging verse for me because, in all honesty, though in American standards we have many rich here, we have very many that are poor here, but in the perception of the world, we are all very rich. In both of these stories, it begins with starting the people who are well off. Say that they do these things, they honor well, they are giving their tithes and their offering. If this is always a funny thing to me, people complain about, man, I have to give 10% of my income. At this time, they gave 23% of their income off the top. They give 10 to the synagogue, 10 to the priest, and 3 to the poor. And so I feel like we kind of got it easy if our expectation is only 10%. And we're going to get to a little bit why I think that's not necessarily true. But we're going to keep going with this thought. And he calls them out and says, these rich people gave out of their abundance. And when he calls out the rich young ruler, he says, you've done all the commands and you have kept them. And I think the point that Jesus is trying to make is going, it didn't really cost you anything. Because it's not wrong that they put in their tithes and offering. I know a lot of people like to point out, oh, these men were probably jingling their bags, doing that so many people can look. There's no really part of Scripture that really says that or even gives us that idea. I really think, again, like I said, I'm young, I'm still in school, I'm learning myself, so this may just be a young man's point of view, that God's calling out, they're not having faith to give. They're not putting their life in God's hands. Many of us struggle with this, right? When I have a free day, it's real easy to give up my time when I have a free day. But when I go, I want to be selfish, and I want to take time to be alone and by myself, I don't want to go help those people in need. I want those new pair of shoes that are costing me $100, but that those people will have a need, and they need a meal. Well, I want that $100 to go buy me some shoes. It's funny that Jesus also uses the poor woman and goes, no, she gave all that she had to live on. She put all of her faith in God. She understood where her abundance really does come from. The widow's faith is what many of us are lacking. And if you are taking notes, the first point I want to make is that when you give, when you tithe, it's not a numerical issue. It's not a numerical issue. It's a faith issue. Because if it was a numerical issue, he wouldn't call people out for how much they give. Even if we look at the Old Testament, especially Isaiah chapter 1 is one of my most terrifying pieces of scripture for me, because he goes, you're giving all these things, but they're becoming a burden because you do them out of anger, out of hate, out of laziness. You do them because you feel like you have to, and that's the only option you have. That scares me because I wonder if that's who I am, who we are. And it's hard to blame the rich young ruler because it makes sense. He feels like he's doing all the right things. And he is, but he's going, the reason why God tells him, go sell all your wealth and give it to the poor is because that is your God. That's the point Jesus is making. That money is your God, not me. Not the God of your fathers, but your money, because that is where your faith is. Where is your faith today? Is it in your family? Is it in your friends? Is it in your pastor? Is it in your husband? Is it in your job? What defines you? Because again, as I said a minute ago, when you look at Scripture, look at what God's really wanting. It's you. It's you. The second point is God wants all of you and not just a part. And so often we just want to give him a little bit and think that's okay. We go, God, why can't I hear you? It's because you're not listening. You're going, I want to hear you over here. Because most of the time God's going, I need you to go over here. And you're like, no, that's not. I heard that wrong. I'm going to stay over here. This is where I want to be. This is safe. This is where God is calling me to be. But yet God's calling you over here. We like to get away with so much. Because we can do it in our own lives with our friends and our family. Right? I can give a little time to school and do well. But my call is to be a student. And if I gave the correct time to school, I'd probably actually be somewhat smart. I don't think I'm that intelligent at the moment. I'm working on it. My wife thinks I'm smart. I'm not sure why. I married you, so that's fair. But we like to get away with just a little bit here, a little bit there, a little commitment, without it costing a whole lot. I know we love, and Jesus himself, he goes, it is a free gift of grace so that you can be saved. And we go, it costs you nothing. It's hard to actually think about that because when you think about it, it costs you everything. When you say, God, you are my God, you are now dying to yourself and living as God has called you to live. You're putting away your own desires so that God may reign in your life. And as we get older, hopefully, as we mature, our desires start becoming God's desires because we're in prayer, we're in Scripture, we're in community, we're doing the things that God has called us to do, we're going out and living in the community as God has called us to live. One of the things that really blows my mind in Scripture is there's only one instance in the entire Scriptures that God says you can test him. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Many people say, I don't want to give because I'm not sure where it's going or what it's being used for, or I need to buy this, I need to buy that. Wealthy or poor, it doesn't really matter. People say, I just can't afford to give. That's a dangerous thought. It's a very dangerous thought because the only time God ever says you can test me is when it comes to giving tithes and offering. Malachi is one of my favorite books of the Bible, partly because it is really reflected towards the leaders of Israel, and you get to learn a lot as you start seeing what God expects of leadership. And so we're going to read verses 6 through 15 of chapter 3. It says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes, and you have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have I robbed you? It's in your tithes and your contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. Put me to the test. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer, so that you will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of keeping his charge, or of walking in his mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test, and they escape. A lot of people like to use this passage for health, wealth, and prosperity reasons. That's not what's going on here. I'm not saying if you give money to God, you will get 1,000 times back or anything ridiculous like that, okay? So hear me say that now. But God is going, why aren't you giving? Why aren't you doing these things? Why are you so afraid? Have I not promised to meet your needs? Have I ever failed you? And they're saying, why should we do these things? Look, the evil prosper and they do well. I do these things, I see nothing of you around me. And if we're honest with each other, I think many of us feel like that sometimes. If I'm honest with you, I felt like that this week. Christine and I had a long conversation where sometimes you just walk through a season of life where you feel like God is far from you. And you see that in Psalms with David, and he goes, Lord, I feel as you're far. Lord, please draw near to me as I draw near to you. And we see him struggle with that season of life. But yet, he remembers God's faithfulness. As you read the Psalms, you see he remembers and always speaks of God's faithfulness and the truth that he's provided them. But we forget so quickly, or at least I do, I'll admit that. I forget so quickly that God has met our needs. There's never been a day where I've gone hungry or not have enough money for what I need, have some need met that had to happen. Those have always been taken care of. Knowing that God is in control. So put the Lord to the test this one time. Give him control. It's okay. I'm not saying be Carrie Underwood and seeing Jesus take the wheel. I'm just saying daily in your prayers, when you wake up, when you go through scripture, when he says, this is what I'm calling you, put your hands up and go, okay, lead. And you have to follow. God is not playing a game because he uses the things that we give God to his glory. If you remember when we read this passage, it says, so that my storehouses may be full, so that in time of famine, the people of God will have their needs met. Because that's the point of why we give to the church, so that when people are in need, we meet our people are in need, we meet their needs. We invest in them. We use those gifts well. And it's much more than just financially, but your time, your other resources, your gifts. I've been bugging Erin, the redheaded girl that I was singing, for probably about 2 years to sing. Because she has a gift that's a blessing that we get to enjoy. Brandon and Bethany, I was just watching them grow up the last 3 years, which blows my mind that I've known you for 3 years now. Watching them go from little baby 19-year-olds to 22-year-olds who are about to graduate and who are leading well. And I can go on and on about the people who I've got to invest in and watch grow. There's many of them sitting up here and seeing the real change in their life, not to just come and sit, but to come and invest, to dive into Scripture, to grow. And there's many others of you that are here that are doing the same things that I get to watch and to see. And that's why I open with, my heart is just full. Because the people of God are doing what God has called them to do. But my heart breaks when I listen to people go, cool, that's their job. That's what they need to do. I am just here to listen and to soak. At some point, you just don't move. You just become a noisy gong. That's what it says in Isaiah. You just become a noisy gong and becoming a burden. And how often do we as the church, not only here at Connect, but the church as a whole in America, are just becoming a noisy gong where we just like to talk, talk, and talk. But when it comes time to love, to serve, to give, to honor, we fail. We don't meet the needs of our neighbors. We don't even meet the needs of our fellow believers. Because that's not our job? False. We should run to those opportunities. But as I said before, you do it with the right motive. Because God loves a cheerful giver. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 9. Read verses 6 through 15. As I said a minute ago, tithe offering, for me personally, because I know some people don't think the tithe is for the New Testament church, for me, I still think it's appropriate. I see blessings in it. As I read in Malachi and many other parts in Scripture, and Jesus even says, makes mention and calls people out about tithe and offering, so I believe those things are still necessary. But I do believe your heart position is the most important part of it. Your faith in it is what's the most important part of it. Paul says to the church in Corinthians, or in Corinth, he says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberally, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of his service is not fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgiving to God because of the proof given by this ministry. They will glorify God for your obedience. For your obedience, they will glorify God to your confession of the gospel of Christ and all of your contributions to them and to all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. I love that he starts off with saying, if you put in a little bit, only expect a little bit. If you put in a lot, expect a lot. Again, not health, wealth, and prosperity. We're not talking about money here. If you invest in a lot of time in somebody's life, you get to watch them grow. You get the joy of going from friendship, from mentor, to being a friend. I think Paul describes it best when he talks about Timothy. He goes, this is my son in the faith. My son in the faith. My son in the faith. My co-worker in the gospel. He spends so much time with Timothy and helps him grow up and teaches him, walks with him, to the point where it's no longer this son-father relationship, no longer this mentor relationship, but a co-laborer, a co-worker. Many of us don't want to spend and invest the time into God's word and God's people, and we go, I don't understand what is going on. It's because you're not investing. You're not investing your time into Scripture. It's hard to hear God's voice when you don't even want to put up all the things he's already given you. There's so many more things in here. Like, this isn't just I read a chapter today and I moved on. Can you tell me what that chapter was about? Do you even know anything it said? Because so often we read, done. And we think we're good. I challenge our students quite often, when you read, whatever you read, put it to your life that day. Now sometimes going through the Old Testament, right, when it's talking about different types of offerings, like a animal sacrifice or things like that, I'm not telling them to go sacrifice a small goat. That's illegal. Remember that. That will be bad. I don't want to come pick you up from prison because I'd probably laugh at you first. But apply those things. Love the poor. Spend times in God's word, right? Psalms 1. Lord, I will meditate on your law day and night. How many of us meditate on God's word day and night? I'll be honest with you and say I don't. I struggle with it. Partly because I like to have fun and I don't like reading and sitting still, so I'll go run and do something else. But how often can we not force ourselves to just sit and enjoy God's scripture? And as anything in life, the more we do it, the easier it gets. The more time we spend in God's word, the more we want to soak it up. And maybe some of you probably say, that's not true, I've tried. Well, if I go to your Netflix account, I can show you that the more you watch it, the more you enjoy soaking it up, and the more you want to spend time with it. The more if I can look at your other books, right? I used to get challenged a ton. People would read, like when I was growing up in high school, Harry Potter came out. People would love those books, which is great. All of those books, if you read all of them, they're bigger than the Bible. They're about the Bible and a quarter. So they go, oh, I don't like to read. False. You love to read. You're reading these massive books. Look at your podcast, how much time you spend doing your other things that are not life-staining. They're not the things that are going to bring you eternal joy. But you love spending time on those. You love getting better at those things. Again, hobbies are not bad. Hobbies are good. Don't let your hands be idle. But remember the most important things in your life. And again, I know it says be a cheerful giver. I struggled with giving. I didn't grow up with a ton. And so when I finally started working on my own, getting out on my own, and the thought of, man, I only have $300, or I only made $300 for 2 weeks, $30 is a ton of money when you're an 18-year-old. $30 is kind of important to me now as a 26-year-old. But it was hard to give. But I remember the story of the Roman soldier that goes, Lord, he comes to Jesus, goes, Jesus, if you can heal my child, let it be so. And Jesus looks at him and goes, if. What do you mean, if? Why are you saying if? The Son of Man can do all things. And the man replies, I think, the best way possible. He goes, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me understand. Make these things right in my life. And I think of that about giving money, giving my time, giving my skills to whatever it's needed. Lord, teach me to do those things. Because these are things that you're calling me to do that bring joy in my life, not because it makes me feel good, but because they're honoring who God is. I'm fulfilling his purpose and his call in my life. And that brings joy. Not happiness, but joy. Sustaining. It brings food for your soul. So it is very difficult to start. And God does love a cheerful giver. But you got to start. It's going to be hard. Right? New Year's resolutions are about to come up in, 3 months? No one wants to go to the gym. But almost half of us, if not almost all of us, will say, I'm going to go to the gym. And we'll do it for about a week. And you'll push yourself for that week really hard. And some of us will kind of drop back off. And some people will continue on. But it's because you pushed real hard that first week that taught you to love it. And sometimes you just got to push real hard on the things that God has called you to do to learn the blessings from it, to learn the benefits from it. Because as he said in Malachi, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Give and see if I don't meet your needs. You are my children. I love you. Look at your history. I've never have ever left you. I have always been there for you. And that continues today. As Jay said, and I can go on with more and more stories of when I didn't think these needs would be met. And God just always has always met them. Again and again and again. Put God to the test. Again, this is not about, the question is not how much we are giving. Okay, that's not the question. The question is, are you willing to give God everything? Your entire life. Liz likes to make fun of me because almost every sermon I've ever preached up here, I always bring up Romans 12. So I had to go with it and bring up Romans 12 one more time. So if you would turn to Romans 12, we're just going to read verse 1. Because I know the money thing is very nerve-wracking. No one likes talking about it. And offering a tithe is so much more than just your money. Romans 12:1 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Giving yourself up is an offering. Giving yourself up is worship. You, your whole being. In Ephesians 5, it says this, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. It's a good smell. Fall's coming in, and Christine and I were talking last night. I said, I just asked her what was her favorite smell was. Like, what's your first memory when you get that favorite smell? I'll be honest with you, my favorite's fall. So, like, next weekend when it gets to the 60s and that cool wind's going to be coming in the morning, I'm really excited for that because it brings so many good memories as of me and my mom growing up that I got to sit and to talk and to watch and to learn. And I read this passage and go, this is a sweet aroma to God where he remembers his children. He's going, look at what you're doing. This brings so much joy to my heart. You're honoring me. You're bringing joy. You're blessing others. You're doing the things that I did while on earth, and you're serving the people. And so I think of those moments that I can offer something to God who is the creator of all things, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, and I can bring joy to him through obedience of his word and through the love he has shown me that I show it back, not only to God but to his creation, to his people. So humble yourselves. God has given everyone a gift. For some people, it may be the gift of wealth. Some may be the gift of singing, some teaching, some the gift of time. I'm a terrible time management person. I like to just run around and fill everything up. It's not the best thing in the world. But God has given you some gift. Present it to God as a sacrifice. Let that be your offering towards God. Do not waste your time. 60, 80 years is really not that long. If we get to live that long. I've had friends die in their 20s. Make use of your short time here. Your money is not your own. Your gifts are not your own. Your time is not your own. All those things are God's. Again, it's not about how much we give. It's that we give all things to God as a sacrifice for honor, for his glory. Just as he gave his son for us. The first of every month, we get together as a body of believers, and we take the Lord's communion together. And so if you would turn 1 Corinthians 11, this is how we're going to end today, is taking the Lord's Supper. This is probably one of my favorite passages of the Lord's Supper because I think it's the most honest. Because this is not just us taking a piece of bread, taking some juice, eating and drinking them, and moving on with our lives. This is a very serious, a very special, and a very honoring time. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is talking to all the believers there, and he's very frustrated because those who have a lot of wealth and a lot of power in the city of Corinth, they have special positions. They come and they eat first while the poor get nothing and get left out of being part of the celebration. He calls them out on their sin. And he says, in verse 23, he says, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered also to you. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Pay attention to this last part. Therefore, whoever eats in the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. This is a joyous occasion as we remember what Jesus has done for us, that his body is broken, that his blood was poured out. But Paul's reminding us, take this seriously. Spend time in prayer before you do this. Come before the Lord righteously, free of sin, on your knees. Don't take these things lightly and in vain, because this is why many of these people are weak and sick. And I think this still plays to us today. Don't make this just another piece of the sermon, another piece of what we do on Sundays. These gatherings, these times are special because the Holy Spirit is with us, teaching us, guiding us, moving us, correcting us, disciplining us, so that we may be more like Christ every day. So now I ask that the students are to come and lead us in the Lord's Supper today. But I want to spend some time in prayer. If you're not a believer, I ask you not to do this just for your sake. If you are a believer and you're not part of Connect, that's okay. We don't hold that tradition where you have to be part of a specific body. We just think if you are saved, if you have proclaimed that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, you can take it with us. But do not take this lightly. So the students are about to come up. The band's about to come up. But as they're doing that, let us spend a few minutes in prayer. Seek God's face in this moment. Ask him to reveal your sin, things you need to change, what you need to give up, what's in the way of hearing God's voice. God, we come before you now in this time of worship through singing, through reading your word, God, asking for your wisdom. Lord, let us remember and feel the weight of the cross, of your blood being shed, of your body being broken. God, I am guilty of taking this lightly. I'm guilty of doing this in the motions of just our daily life as another act. Lord, I ask that you reveal to us our sin, that we may be able to move forward with you, that we can recognize what you need to cleanse from us, how we need to attack this sin, where we need to run to. God, remind us that you are in control. That as much as we love to think that we have some control in this life, Lord, that you know all things, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you are God, that you are King. God, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.